Jabez, and I hope I'm saying that right because that's how I've been saying it in my head for a week. We're going to be talking about for today, and next week we're going to talk about Jabez again, but more specifically, something a little bit different that we're going to touch on at the end of our sermon this morning. Our scripture reference this morning is 1 Chronicles 4, 9 through 10. If you want to turn there this morning, that's where we're going to be mainly. It's just a couple of verses, and it's right in the middle of a bunch of names that are not very exciting. So we are going to find the excitement within it, right?
Yeah.
I know growing up and in college, I was always encouraged to do reading plans and try to read through the Bible, and they'd always warn me, like, when you get to, like, 1 Chronicles or the parts of the Bible that are just a bunch of list of names for chapter upon chapter, I'm like, it gets a little discouraging, but you just got to power through. Because what? They're in the Bible, right? We should read it. It may not be the most interesting information, but it's there for us, right? So that's where we're going to be this morning. And I'm going to start off with a little story. I know I like to start off with a little story. So there was a 200-year-old church that was getting ready for its anniversary, right? An anniversary celebration. When calamity struck them, they have a bell, a big bell at the top of their church, and the bell ringer was called out of town. He wasn't going to be able to be there. So the church did a lot of work. The pastor started advertising to find someone who could ring the bell because this was a big anniversary, and this bell was part of who they were. And so he finally found someone, and we found the replacement, and he had arrived because the pastor was going to show him around. He took him up the steps, and there's a lot of steps. It's winding, and they keep going to the bell tower, some 150 feet above them. Round and round they went, huffing and puffing all the way. Just as they reached the landing, the temporary bell ringer tripped, okay? And he fell face first into the big bell. And it went boing, okay? Well, obviously that left him a little dazed, okay? And the bell ringer stumbled backwards, and he hit the railing, and it broke. And he fell. He was not hurt. He was just stunned. Well, the pastor did the smart thing and took him to the hospital, of course. And so when the doctor saw the man, he turned to the pastor and asked, "Do you know this man's name?" Well, the pastor said, "No, but his face sure does ring a bell." Okay? So this morning, we're beginning a two-part series called Jabez. Like I said before, Jabez is a name that is easily forgotten in Scripture, okay? And he's really known for a very short prayer that he prayed, and many of you may have heard of it before. We're going to discover this morning that there's something in his prayer that can really ring a bell within all of us, okay? So this first section is called A Face Stands Out. So we're going to look at 1 Chronicles. Turn back with me to chapter 1, actually. So 1 Chronicles chapter 1. And I'm going to do a little jumping around here. In the first 9 chapters, like I was saying, it's kind of not very exciting. The first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles is a list of 500 names, okay? So if your reading plan is set up so you read a chapter a day, that's 9 days of just reading through people's names, which is not very exciting. And I've done it many times, but I do power through it, and I get through it. But these names make up the official family tree of the tribes in the Hebrew tribes, okay? It begins with Adam, and it continues to Israel's return from captivity. These long lists are enough to really put anyone asleep, of course. It's hard to get through. Most of the names are just listed without any editorial comment, but there are a few that stand out in the first couple of chapters here, and we're going to look at those. So the first one is in 1 Chronicles 1, 19. I do have them up on the screen. I will share as well. But the first one is 1 Chronicles 1, 19 says, "One was named Peleg because in his time the earth was divided." Okay, now jump over to chapter 2, verse 3. It says, skipping over a little bit, "was wicked in the Lord's sight, so the Lord put him to death." Okay, and then if you jump down to verse 7 of the same chapter, it says, "Achah, who brought trouble on Israel." Okay, so I share these because many of them are just listing their names. And it's like Joe or Fred, whatever. Those weren't Israel names. But here we're getting a little bit more context. So we have one guy who's given a name that means division, right? Another man was wiped out because of his wickedness. And a third guy was known as one who brought trouble to Israel. So now, if we go back to chapter 4, we're going to look at Jabez. So just when you maybe feel like if you're doing reading through 1 Chronicles, you may be getting a point to where you just kind of want to have your quiet time of reading through 1 Chronicles to just to be over. But then you hit Jabez, okay? It's a very interesting individual. So I kind of picture this camera as I go through, which kind of helps me imagine, but this camera kind of scanning the crowd and stopping at people as it goes and saying something about them. Sometimes it's just their name. Sometimes it's they were a cha and who they brought trouble to Israel, okay? So I kind of picture that, and then I see it zoom in and focus on Jabez. So this is kind of God's way of calling him out, and we're going to read that here in a minute. Something about him caused the writer of 1 Chronicles to stop and pause on him more than he's paused really on anybody else, okay? It caused him to stop and take a little extra footage, per se. Though we have a brief account of who he was, we don't really remember who he really was. We remember a specific thing about him. We remember what he prayed, okay? And that's what we're about to look at. So there's 44 names in the chapter of chapter 4. And there's a man named Jabez who prays a fourfold paradigm-breaking prayer in verse 9 through 10. So join with me as we read that this morning. So it says, "Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, 'I gave birth to him in pain.' Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, 'Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain.' And God granted his request." Okay. So the main section that we're going to be really looking at this morning is the shadows in Jabez's life. And we're going to look at a few of them that I have this morning. And the first one is his character is strong. Okay. So the first clue comes from the opening phrase, right? Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Okay. So this is really not saying so much about Jabez, but more about his brothers. Okay. Is saying something more about his brothers than it does Jabez. When we read that he was more honorable than they were, it kind of indicates that they were somehow dishonorable, right? Okay? If Jabez was more honorable, in contrast to his family's bad reputation that we're kind of starting to see here, Jabez is regarded as a remarkable exception, right? That's something my mom always said about me. My wife rolls her eyes. So that's the first point. So if you're taking notes, that's point number one of shadows in his life. The second one is he was a pain to his mom, which was something I was not to my mother. I'm not going to be able to have her come visit anytime soon. She's going to get bombarded with questions. So the second thing we learn about him is that his mother named him Jabez, which means pain or sorrow, okay? A literal rendering could read, he causes or will cause pain, okay? So it's a little strange to give a newborn baby a name like that, don't you think? Okay? What was she thinking? Was it in her book of 500 best baby names back there in Israel? Which I doubt it. In verse 9, we get a little bit of insight, okay? It says, I gave birth to him in pain, okay? And ladies, you may be able to relate to this in a way that I will never be able to, but it could, of course, be referring to the pain of childbirth, right? Okay, that we see in Genesis 3:16, which says, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain, you will give birth to children, okay? But I don't really think that is the meaning behind why she named him Jabez, okay? Because if that was true, then what would also be true? The name Jabez would be one of the most popular names in history. Right, ladies? I mean, you're obviously in pain. I know Mel was in pain, and I can't even imagine it. But that would be a very popular name, and it's not. Okay? His name indicates that something else was troubling to his mother. Okay? She was discouraged. She saw nothing ahead but hopeless difficulty, and so she named her baby basically pain. Okay? So God only knows for sure what caused the aches of this anguished mother. And we don't have that information. But this leads us to our third point, that his future was bleak. Okay? So sometimes babies are given names of relatives. I was named after my grandfather. My middle name was named after my grandfather. I'm not sure where they got Matthew, probably from the Bible. I feel like that's what I've heard. But my middle name was William. I chose to name William after my grandfather because he was a very important person in my life. The same is for Wendell. We named him Wendell after Mel's grandfather. And so babies often are named after relatives. It's a very common thing to do. Others use Bible names, like I said, Matthew. Sometimes names are chosen just because they sound good, right? We named Wendell's middle name is Reed. We picked Reed because I thought it sounded cool. And my friend had just named his kid Reed, and I was like, I'm still in that. So there's no significance. Whereas William's middle name is Devin, which is my dad's name. So there's different reasons why we do things. So as I was putting this together, I thought it would be interesting to check out some names and what they mean for you guys. And I targeted the board, of course. I got to pick on them. So I picked out a couple of the board that I kind of looked up, and I can't guarantee any of this is right, but we're going to start this morning off with Mark. Pick on you first, Mark. So, Mark, I don't know if you know any of your history of your name or any of your origins, but this is what I found on the internet, and you know it's right, okay? So, Mark is Latin, which means warlike, actually, which is kind of cool. And mentor derives from someone who handled money. So, Mark's our treasurer, guys. And he loves it and enjoys it because it's in his name, okay? Next I'm going to pick on is Pam. Thanks for being here, Pam, because this would have been awkwarder. Pam derived from Greek and means honey of all sweetness. Did you know Pam is really sweet? Okay. Really? Interesting. Well, there you go.
And it's Pamela.
Yes. Yes. And Pam, yeah, it's short for Pamela. And her maiden name, I think, is Hamer.
Yes.
Okay. Which is also a shortened form of hammer. Okay. Was often given to blacksmiths. And as far as Faye goes, I couldn't find anything. So if you have any info on Faye, Pam, let me know, because I couldn't find anything on what that means.
An Irish derivative, and it means spirit.
Oh. Well, Pam is sweet and spirited, and I would say that aligns with her. She's also a secret blacksmith if anybody needs any work done. Okay.
Also, about the name Hamer, my father has done research 50, 60 years ago, and it's a derivative of Thor.
I did see that.
Hammer.
I did see that. I didn't want to add that to give you kind of a big head about yourself. But thanks for sharing that for us. All right. The next one I thought I would share is our newest member of the board is Randall. So Randall is an Old Norse word meaning shield and wolf, which I don't know how those really connect, but there you go. And I was hoping that Bathurst meant one who takes many baths, but I was greatly disappointed, and it only means, it actually has two meanings. It's kind of two words put together. And what I found is it's bath is battle, and erst is wooded hill. So however you want to put that together, you can. But the last person I'm going to pick on is Marge, or Marjorie, which means pearl. And I thought that was very pretty. And I'm going to put your last name, even though I asked you when you got here how to pronounce it, but Percival, yes, which means one who pierces the veil, okay, or hard steel. That's what it means. And freeman, as you may think, just means free man. So nothing too exciting for there. But I thought it was interesting kind of to explore that and kind of get you to see what names mean and what they have meant. People in the Bible were often named to reflect something about their character or their destiny, okay? For example, Solomon means peace. Okay, who was Solomon? He was the first king of Israel to reign without having any wars. It was a time of peace. Okay? Jabez, on the other hand, was a child of sorrow and was marked as a loser, per se, from his very first breath. Okay? So just think about the childhood dynamics of being growing up with the name Jabez. And you're 5 years old and you're playing out in the field. When you hear your mother's voice, as we all remember doing as kids, calling you home for dinner, and she calls you and she says, "You who cause me pain, you source of grief, you loser, it's time for dinner." Okay? That had to have been going through his mind, right? Mothers often call their children their pride and joy, but this baby was a bummer to her. In her mind, he came out of her room as worthless for some reason. This label of shame and insignificance struck with him throughout his life, I'm sure. Okay, we often like to let things define who we are. It's kind of built into who we are. Okay, so that was number three. Number four is there's no mention of his father. Okay, this one's real short and sweet. If we look a little closer, we'll notice some omission in the verse. These verses are clues to help us understand what is going on, right? Throughout this chapter, the other listed names are heads of families, okay? So-and-so is the father of so-and-so, right? When Jabez is introduced, there's no mention of his father, which is significant if you really think about the history of Israel and what that means, okay? And the fifth one is that they were poor, okay? So it's evident from this passage that there was a struggle going on in the family of Jabez. They seemed to be under the bleat of terrible poverty, for Jabez prays this, "Lord, enlarge my territory," which is a way in saying, increase my material possession, right? This can indicate that things weren't going well at home. Things maybe were tight. They weren't being as lucrative as he would hope, right? In Israel, the land, if we remember, and if you think back to growing up and learning about this, or if you haven't, I'm going to share it right now. In Israel, the land was divided among the tribes and among the families. So the tribes, the 12 tribes would get a section of land, and they would break it up between families and so on and so forth. Okay? And then that land would stay in the family through generation over generation over generation. So every family had its own inheritance, right? Which was passed on from generation to generation. Yet here is Jabez without an inheritance, with no mention of a father's name, and with bums for brothers, basically, right? This may be telling us something very significant about Jabez if we look at it. We have to use our imagination, of course, because we can interpret this any way we can in context, right? But it's very, very likely that the family's money had been squandered by the irresponsibility of his father, maybe, resulting in the shame and disgrace to the family, okay? There's a good reason his father's not listed, okay? And it could be for that reason. Whether or not this is true, Jabez's mother seems to feel hopeless, right? She seems depressed or gripped by the very difficulty of the circumstances they're in. Jabez's brothers have inherited some kind of family trait, which has made them a description of dishonor among Israel. They were not like their brother, okay? All right, the sixth point and the last point is he doesn't want to stay where he is, okay? And a little heads up, we shouldn't want to stay where we are, okay? So Jabez prays, "Keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain," okay? There is a play on words here if you look at it. Harm, or pain, translates into his name, right? Jabez. So what he's praying is, "Lord, whatever it is that is in me that is wrong, I pray that you will keep it from Jabezing me, from hurting me," okay? He's trying to escape his name in a way. When we put the pieces together, we have a picture of a young man who has really all the cards stacked against him, okay? Not having an inheritance being one of the biggest cards, okay? His brothers have humiliated the family. So that's one of the cards. His mom calls him a loser. He has an absent or irresponsible father whose name has been dropped from the official records. His family's poor, right? He has no property, he has no future, and is caught in the web of relational ruptures, okay? So my guess is, like me, I kind of feel a little bad for Jabez. I mean, he's trying to do what's right, but he's in a really tough situation. When we look upon our children, our memories of them can be very messy, right? Kids are hectic and crazy, and I'm just in the thick of it right now, but it can bring us joy too, right? Because we're going to see them grow, okay? Growing up as a child, You maybe had felt like Jabez at one time. I know I had. You may have felt like a liability, or that you were stupid or insignificant, okay? We all can feel like that, right? Maybe your dad or your mom was absent, or maybe not physically absent, but emotionally absent or something. Maybe your siblings were an embarrassment to you. Maybe growing up, money was tight, and you were worried about how needs were going to be met, right? Deep in your heart, you know that your upbringing has had an effect on who you are, right? I know it has me. I'm not as intense as my mother and wash containers and plastic bags anymore, but I remember that, and I do think about it every now and then that we should be doing it, but we don't. It leaves an impression on who you were, your upbringing, how you grew up. As much as you try to change, as much as you try to be different, we all kind of can remember that. It's engraved into us, right? Well, church, I have some good news, okay? No matter how bad your past has been, your future is bright with Christ, amen? Okay? You already know that you can't change things on our own. We have to believe that. We cannot change things on our own. And that's partly why you're here this morning, right? You know you need the power of God to be unleashed in your life. We need that power to overcome the things in our lives because we can't do it alone. So, as we get ready to close out this morning, in our remaining time together, I want to introduce to you a four-part prayer. And it's actually in your bulletin, that has the power to literally transform your life if you pray it faithfully and fervently, right? So why was Jabez considered more honorable than his brothers, even though his mother thought he was a pain in the neck, right? Why was he more honorable? God has reversed things. Sorry, God says in Psalms 90, verse 15, which I don't have up there. I meant to get up there, but it says, "Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble." Okay? How do you account for change in your life? The answer is in prayer, okay? We change through prayer. If we truly want to be a different person, then we have to take up the challenge of prayer, and specifically this prayer. This is called the best prayer, okay? And I printed it because I knew that was going to be tiny, and I wanted you to have it. So in order to help, you remember the four requests in the prayer of Jabez that he prayed. I have this, I forget what it's called. I have it written, but I can't pronounce it. Acrostic? Did I say that right? Huh? Acrostic? Okay. And it's best, okay? And you can kind of see it up there, and it's on your sheet, which I have one in my pocket. So the first one for B, bless me. Oh, that you would bless me, right? Expand my ministry is E. Basically, enlarge my territory. Enlarge who I'm reaching, how I'm impacting people, right? S, stay with me. Let your hand be with me. Stay with me. I want to feel you. I want to be in your presence, Lord, right? And the last T, take evil away. Keep me from harm, right? So, my challenge for you as we go through this series, so this week and then next week, is to pray this prayer for yourself, right? Every day, okay? Pull it out and pray it and believe it to be true for who you are. and what God is doing in you, right? Next week, we're going to look at this prayer a little bit more in depth, and that's going to be the main thing that we're going to look at next week. But I want to close this morning by reading an alterated synopsis of the life of Jabez. So I'm going to read that for us this morning. Now, the reputation of Jabez rose above the respect of his refined relatives. However, his mother had little regard, as she rather underrated him, relegating him to the rank of wretchedness by referring to him as a remorseful Jabez. Her reasoning that repented and repulsed her as she reluctantly received the little rascal, and her roughly repaired residence was surely not a rich resort, as she was racked by regret while ruefully remembering the restless rigors reaped from the range of resistance. A lot of R's. I did not write this. But in response, Jabez rebounded by a resolve to raise his request for reprieve to the royal God who reigns over both race and region, replying, and this is what he says, "O Redeemer, remedy and release, refresh and replenish, raise, rescale, and reset the room and rim of my boundaries. Reach out and remedy, reinforce and restore me as my hope, my refuge and rest. Repress all who would rob, ruin, ravage, or rub me out. May the resistance be reversed, refuted, rescinded, repealed, replaced, revoked, and removed." Then, being recognized by the great ruler who reigns forever, God responded by rewarding him with all of his requests. Okay? So perhaps you're here this morning and you can relate, or you can recognize yourself with Jabez. Maybe we can connect with him on some level. Maybe your life doesn't align completely to how his was, but very well you have something in common with him, right? The rays in our rearview mirror can reflect random things that we remember throughout our lives, okay? Some are positives, many are negative. We like to kind of dwell on the negative, right? But you can remember those things. Respectfully, when we think about those things, it can bring us down in a way that we don't want it to bring us down. So, as I close this morning, let's remember his prayer and what it represents, okay? The reality and results from the Lord. So, I challenge you to risk the ramifications. Reconsider your role. What is your role? Reject, refuse, reduce, or renounce the past while reclaiming what the future is that the Lord has for you, right? Renew your mind. Rely on the King to give you strength. Revere His majesty. Remain in His presence and recount your blessings. That's why I love our family time. It's not just prayers. We're giving God the opportunity to be praised for the things He's already done, right? I want to close with the song this morning. So if you will stand with me, we're going to close with "The Lord is King." Lift up your voice. If you know it, sing it loud and proud. I do have a video for us. So join with me this morning as we close with this song.